Okay, let me tell them the joke. So I was a headmaster of a school, a primary school, and you know, at the end of the year, you know, all the grade sevens get up and they tease the teachers, and then it got to the teasing the headmaster time, and in the front row all these umbrellas went up, because when the headmaster gets excited, he starts spitting. Yeah, and I was just sitting under, oh, weet jy, nee. Okay, jy is stout, eh?
He listens.
I hope to wet you oaks this morning, eh? This is my wife, Wendy. And ek wil net een ding, so I just want to say one thing. When God gives gifts to men, he gives good gifts. And, I've been blessed with the best.
Thank you.
Amen. Ek weet jy wil iets sê.
Ja, I just want to. Good morning, the bridge. And a hello from South City Church on the South Coast. We spoke to our deacons and elders this morning, and we said that you must tell them that the bridge sends their love. So South City sends their love. And I just want to say, on behalf of Harry and myself, what a privilege and an honor it's been to be welcomed into this family, and in such a warm way. I said to Harry yesterday, after speaking with the ladies, it feels like I know the ladies of the bridge. And I felt so, so at home. And thank you for just hosting us with such excellence. It's really great to see, because God is a God of excellence. And this church has shown us that this weekend. So thank you very much for that. And then just to the ladies, thank you so much for my beautiful gift. I'm going to take the aroma that's in those bottles with me every day to school. And I'll remember the bridge. So thank you very much.
Amen. 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 So it really is a privilege to be with you. And my elders and church, they do send their regards. And just on a personal level, it has been so good to connect with you and Charmaine Grant. Privilege, Choma. And I look forward to, I'm excited about our futures together. I really am. And to get to know all your elders, your deacons, your leaders, what a privilege. And yeah. So let me crack on. Grant, yes, a champion. You know what, when I sat down okay, God, we're going to the bridge. It's this funny church up in Pretoria. God, what have you got for me, for them? And I just felt this question pop into my head. And I know they're these huge theologians sitting in front of me here and amongst you, but just, he did just a simple question popped into my head. That's this: why? Harry asked them, just ask them, why did God establish the church way back in Acts chapter 2? Now, I could break into 2 years preaching on that, but it's actually very simple. Why did God start the church in Acts 2? Why did God start the church here in Pretoria called the Bridge? Why do we lead a church in Ramsgate on the South Coast? And here's the answer. It's very simple. People matter to God. And so he put you here. He put us there. I want to say it again. People matter to God. And that is why the bridge is here. He's placed you here. Bridgonians. Bridgers. Bridges. Bridgonians, he's placed you here because you know why? There are so many people in the city that are still spiritually orphaned. They might live here, but they haven't found a home in God's family yet. Yeah, And so he puts you here. Because people matter to God. And so he places you here. He places us down there. Many people live in Pretoria. They're orphaned. They need a home. And so God put the bridge here so that they may come home. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I believe God. Julle oudkies, kom sit hier. Kom. You give me a kick in the neck. Kom sit hier. Sit in front here like elders and deacons and behave like elders and deacons, okay?
No.
Well, say. I believe God has got a two-word message for this church today. Two words. Welcome home. Welcome home. I believe God wants to extend a special welcome to each and every one of you here today. Married, single, divorced, gay, filthy rich, dirt poor. If you're as skinny as a rake, or can afford to lose some pounds, I believe God is saying to you this morning, welcome home. Welcome home. If you can sing like Michael Bublé, or if you like this oh who can't carry a note in a bucket, God is saying, you're home. You're welcome here. If you're just browsing, thank you. You're welcome here if you just woke up. You're welcome here if you just flippin' got out of jail. God says, welcome home. And these guys here, they don't care if you're more Catholic than the Pope. Or if you haven't been in church since little Johnny's baby dedication. This church and its head wants to say, welcome home. Welcome home. Taxi moms, super sport addicted dads, mountain biking brothers, Cavendish clad sisters, wat lekker gekloek het gister. Golfing widows. Starving artists. Tree huggers. Latte sippers. Junk food eaters. God is saying, welcome home. Vegetarians, not welcome. If you're here this morning and you have a beer belly, a beer boop, if your breath smells of alcohol, or worse, garlic, if you're tattooed from head to toe, inked and pierced, God has got a special two-word welcome for you. Welcome home. Welcome home, my boy. For those of you who are in addiction, for those of you who are on the road to recovery, For those of you who have problems, for those of you who are down in the dumps, for those of you who are considering suicide, for those of you who don't like organized religion, God wants to say to you today, you're home. For those of you who work too hard, for those of you who don't work at all, for those of you who are here because grandma's in town and she wanted to come to church, welcome home. If you can use a prayer right now, if you're one of those who had religion shoved down your throat as a kid, if you got lost in the traffic and wound up here by mistake, tourists, seekers, the bleeding and the lost, God's saying to you today, welcome home. Now, the last time I did an introduction like that, I flippin' got a huge round of applause. What's wrong with you people? I just want to say this. I'm not a guest speaker. Are you guys with me? I'm not a guest in this house. I'm a brother. These are my brothers. These are the men that I do life with. I don't do life with my cousins. I do life with my brothers. And I'm with my brothers here. Hey, Ein. I can hear his brothers, bro. He's two Ein, some of you by my car. So God placed the bridge here in Pretoria because people matter to him. You think you're here by accident. Well, you're not. You're not. God put his finger on you and said, the bridge is your home because I have a mission for you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. I don't know if you guys listen to David Kramer. He's my favoritest Afrikaans muso. And I know you guys listen to Rihanna Nell and all those funny soft things, but I listen to David Kramer. And he says this in one of his songs. He sings this. Miskien vir jou is die plek lelik, maar vir my is die plek mooi. Hoekom sal ons nou hier bly, want die Here het ons hier gegooi. Wow! Ja! God has placed you here in Pretoria because the city is filled with orphans who need a home. Can I hear an amen? Just if you hear nothing else today, the city is filled with orphans who need a home. They still need to come into the Father's family. And guess what? God has sent a missionary right into the middle of your sphere of influence. You. You say, God, would you define my mission field? Your mission field has largely been defined. It's your sphere of influence.
It's good.
And guess what? God has sent a missionary right into the middle of that sphere of influence. And I'm talking to you, not to the one. Want julle dink altyd hy praat met die ou daar, 3-4 sheets off. Did you guys, I'm speaking to you. God is speaking to you. He's placed you here. Are we good? I don't normally dress like this. This felt funny. I dress like Willem over there. You know, scripture says you've got to do everything to build common ground with your culture. Apostle Paul says that, ne? Did you everything in, so I dress like you owes. But you come to South City, and let me find out that you've been on the coast and you haven't visited us. But I don't preach in slops because my feet were designed to climb trees. So I covered them. George said altijd, ek het voete wat model voete. God has sent you on the greatest mission on earth, and that is into the area where he has placed you. Are we good? You're in this city. I just want to say this. Maybe you've been so busy. Maybe you've been so preoccupied, self-preoccupied, that you've become blind. You've become blind to the orphans around you. You're not seeing them. That has to change today. That has to change today. And so I know I'm not being invited back here. So for the podcast, my name is George Abers. It has to change today. And I pray that as I speak this morning, that Jesus would open your eyes to see what he sees, to feel what he feels. That is my prayer for each and every one of you. Spirit of God would move upon you and you would see again. Because it is a city going to hell. Amen? Okay, let's move on. So, I call it the Mark 2 house. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 in our Bibles. And we find ourselves on the timeline right in the beginning of Jesus' ministry, okay? This is right at the sort of start of things, okay? I'll just read it there. So verse 1 says, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Just a quick one. The people heard that he had come home. Someone told someone that Jesus was in town. The people heard that Jesus was in town. So many gathered, verse 2 says, that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Oh man, I just need you to close your eyes for 2 seconds, all of you. Let's drift back in our mind's eye. Flip over. There's this house. Can you see it in your mind's eye? Okay, and it's possibly a rented home. You can open your eyes now, okay? But here in Mark 2, you need to know that Jesus' popularity rates had been soaring. He was the flavor of the day at that time, okay? People were flooding to come and hear this guy talk. They to come and watch him heal. Scripture tells us that house was full to capacity. People were packed in like a can of sardines. There's hardly any light in the place because guys are leaning into the windows. They're blocking the doors. I imagine it to be like a Dire Straits concert. And for you young guys, you need to Google Dire Straits and you need to look because you haven't lived yet. You're young like this. Listen. Just switch off Charity Gale for a bit. Okay? Fry your palm for your die straight to Google, man. And live. We're the three, let's make it four, biggest and ugliest oaks in the bridge. Jy, kom. Hein, kom. Daai oom met die baard wat so lekker lag, kom jy ook maar. Kyk gou vir die ouens daar. Can I want you to picture this? Kom staan hier skouer te skouer hier met die manne. These are the guys that are at the Mark 2 house. Staan skouer vas, lekker vas aan mekaar daar, boys. Now, Can you imagine these guys rocking up there and they want to get into the house because they've got someone they need to bring to Jesus? I'll say, stano netsua. Stano netsua. Verse 3. It turns out that Jesus is there in the house. He's the host of honor. He's there. But you see, the guest of honor still has to arrive. Okay? So verse 3 says, some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them, since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd. But there's these four buddies, each carrying a corner of a mat. And on the mat is a paralytic, says scripture, this guy lying on this mat. Okay? And they can't get him to Jesus because of these guys. So now imagine these guys coming saying, sorry guys, hey Owens, hey guys, kijk gaan vir my man, hey, check ya, we got a sick man here. Can you guys give us a gap? Can you give us a gap? Excuse me. Owens, guys, we've got a... Yeah, exactly. Scripture says the windows and the doorways were blocked. They couldn't get him to Jesus. Okay, thank you, Owens. Now things get interesting. Four men... four friends, listen carefully, each carrying the corner of the mat. And on the mat lies a paralyzed guy. And for today we'll call him the mat man. Okay? The mat man. And these guys, these four friends, listen carefully. They've got it into their head that Jesus can make a difference in the life of the mat man. Can I hear an amen? They've got it in their heads that that guy there in that house can make a difference to the mat man. But their hopes are dashed. Want daar is hier groot Werner types. Their hopes are momentarily dashed. Doorways are blocked. Windows are blocked. No doubt they were saying, please, Oz, let us in here. This is a sick man. But I want to point your attention to this. You see, that crowd that day was in frenzied mode. All they wanted was their little bit of Jesus. They were not interested in sharing Jesus with others. Whoa. Let me say that again. All they wanted was their bit of Jesus. They were not interested in sharing Jesus with others. Might I make some comments around that? I often tell the South Syrians, that this probably is the biggest problem with the church today. There's so many of us, and we have our little bit of Jesus. Man, every Sunday we get our little bit of Jesus. We close enough to see him, we close enough to hear him, but somehow we'd forgotten to share him with others. Yeah. Sure. It's a kind of, and I'm going to just tell it straight. I teach my guys that it's a kind of selfishness. You've got your little bit of Jesus. Cool, man. But what about sharing him with others? Maybe you've heard of that word evangelism. Hey? Man, it's a word that culture and society detests. They're scared of it. They think it sounds rude. They're petrified of that word. But it's because they don't have a simple definition of it. I'm going to give you mine. It's very simple. It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Bread with a capital B. One beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. I want to ask you the bridge. Bruggers. You guys are feasting on Christ. You're feasting on Jesus. You've got your bit of Jesus. That's cool. But when was the last time you made an effort to invite others to this feast? When was the last time you made an effort to invite others to this feast? So the crowd around Jesus that day, they forgot to share Jesus with others. But let me say this, wait. There is another way. There is another way. Ikumadung. Scripture continues and it says this. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. Yeah, I love this story. I love this story. Four men, four buddies, four chumas. They each carrying the other O's around might be selfish and sensitive. But these boys, they care enough to try. They care enough to dare. They care enough to make a way. And I want you to see from scripture how these men put their faith in action. This guy can help this guy. We believe it. Kom ons maak 'n plan. Are you with me? They put their faith in action. They actively do something. This Jesus, these four guys believed, was the answer for the madman. They must, one of them at least must have been Afrikaans. Want 'n boer maak 'n plan. Hey? Maar 'n ander een was seker maar Engels, because it says an Englishman carries the plan out. Hey? One of them must have been a builder of sorts. Because they put their heads together, and I can imagine them chatting like this, and they hatch a plan. Hulle maak 'n plan. Faith in action. First, we're going to climb up the roof. Second, they plan to give the house a free skylight. They dig through the roof. And then, just imagine the scene. Drift back there. There's Jesus in this house. And it's packed. And he's sharing the word. And all of a sudden, wat die hel gaan hier aan? There's this little piece of debris. Wat mag is. And then the roof gives way. And there's debris falling and then these guys, they abseil the madman down to in front. They abseil the madman down to in front of Jesus. And the crowd are going, whoa, yeah. I would have, but you know, yeah. But I want to draw your attention to what Jesus does. Is he going to moan at them for trashing the house? For trashing the roof? Is he going to rebuke them for interrupting his beautiful message? I want you to see what he does. The bridge. Jesus applauds them. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. Jesus sees the madman. probably goes, "Oh, cook." Then he looks up at the skylight and he sees four men peering over, probably going like this. But I want you to notice what Jesus notices mainly, what he sees. Verse 5 tells us he saw their faith. He looks into each one of their eyes. Look, he looks at them and now he's analyzing their behavior. And he's thinking, what? These four guys, they're putting their hope in me. These four guys, they've gone to this length because they believe. These boys, they believe that I can make a difference to the madman. And I want you to see what happens next. You see, their faith moves Jesus to act. Can I say that again? Their faith moves Christ to act. It moves him to treat the madman as the guest of honor. Can I hear an amen? Jesus, the host of honor, is there. The guest of honor has just arrived. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Yesi. So glad, Vaynant, you spoke about faith. I just want to linger there a little bit. Is that okay? Because Jesus saw their faith. I want to ask you, who have you got faith for? Who have you got faith for? Who is your mat man? Have you got a mat man? Well, cook. This okay, and I can see people start doing this. And hierdie ou kom nou te naby. This is coming too close to me. Yeah, let me just guard my heart. Hey. Because you know what? You know what? Dis lekker hier by die kerk. Hey, al die nice mense. All the nice people. My wife just keeps on saying, and every Sunday, by 8 o'clock, I start getting this fuzzy feeling. Hey, fuzzy, wuzzy. Ons gaan kerk toe. Is so lekker hier by die, is so lekker hier at church. Oops, sorry, umbrella. Fortunately, I hit my wife. Hey, who do you have faith for? Who's your mat man? Who's the one drowning in the icy waters of the Atlantic? Hebrews 11. Says this. Now let's listen carefully, Bridge. It says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Verse 6 says this: "Without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I want that reward. I earnestly want to seek him. Amen. Amen. I want to seek him. I want to have. Here in Mark 2, that's exactly what we see by these men. They're putting their Hebrews 11 faith into practice. Can I hear an amen? They earnestly seeked him for their chummy. Yeah. And their reward. So let me get back to the story. So here comes the mat man. Jesus sees their faith. And you know, if the crowd, if Jesus was surprised by what happened, I think these guys were even more surprised with what Jesus said to the mat man when he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Son, your sins are forgiven. Maybe he should have just said straight away, hey, but take up your mat, walk. Take up your mat and walk. Spoiler alert, he does say that a little later. Okay, he does say that. But I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't hone in on the boy's legs. He goes for the man's heart. Hey? He doesn't go for the legs. He goes for the heart. Straight to the heart of man. Straight to the heart. He's dealing with the madman's deepest need. And that's still what he specializes in today. Can I hear an amen? He deals with the deepest need of mankind. I know. We tend to focus on our circumstantial needs. This guy wanted new legs. He wanted to be able to move. And I know some of you here probably, your circumstances, you need a new job. Some of you are praying for a godly partner. Some of you are cash strapped and you need some bucks. Some of you are under enormous stress. And you're saying to God, please God, can something give so I can just get my head above water? Some of you here have broken bodies. You're sick, man. And you're asking God for healing. God, I just want to be whole again. Some of you here are in conflict situations. You're in this conflict and you want it resolved. Some of you are at a crossroads and you don't know where to go. Do I turn left? Do I turn right, God? You need wisdom. And I'm saying, yes, these are all needs. They're legit. And Jesus cares about these things. He might even intervene in these things. But these things are not your deepest need. Amen. It is not your deepest need. I was playing rugby. And our hooker, he was running like this to defend. And a swing tackle came. And the oak's body hit him here. And his leg literally snapped. I mean, his boot was sitting the other way and there was this thing sticking. It was flipping hectic. It was hectic. And off he goes to go to the doctor to have an x-ray to see how they're going to fix this thing. And the doctor looks at this x-ray and he goes, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. Something behind his kneecap, they discovered a cancerous tumor. You see, the leg was in need of medical care. The leg was in need of desperate care. But cancer treatment was his greatest need. Are you guys with me? The broken leg wasn't his greatest need. Cancer treatment was his greatest need. And I want to say this to you. You need to know today that our King is a great doctor. He looks beneath your circumstantial need. And he'll deal with your real need. Amen. What is your real need? You need to be saved. You need to receive God's forgiveness. You need to be made right with God. That is your deepest need. Deepest need. You need to be freed from soul cancer. There's a tumor on your soul. It's called sin. We're all sin positive. Even the nicest people here, you're sin positive. And if you want to complain about that statement, who's the biggest oak in the church? Rufi, you the complaints department today. Your sins are forgiven. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm almost done. I just want to highlight a few more things. Are we good? Your deepest need. Jesus dealt with your deepest need by his greatest deed. There was only one whose shoulders could ever carry guilt, shame, sin, iniquities, and that was our King. Your shoulders were not designed for it. You need to be forgiven. You need God to apply the blood of Christ to your life, to your soul cancer. Amen? It's your deepest need. Let me just read further. Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to them, it's always the guys who sit. There we go. There's that bassist. You're a flippant champ. I don't know who you are, but moi, oh. Just real men don't wear yellow, eh? Just remember that. But well done, buddy. Well done, oh. I'll check you tonight so I can rebuke you some more. It's interesting. It's always those who sit who have the biggest mouths. Al die manne wat sit uit daai seat warmers. Daai manne wat net consume. Dis hulle. It's them. Why does this fellow talk like this? You can just imagine these O's that they live their lives like they're baptized in lemon juice. You know the corners of their lips sort of hulle knieknoppe is magnete en hier's iets hier in wat dit aftrek, jy weet. Daai tipe goeders, jy weet daai heilige ding. What is this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Oh, thank God for verse 8. Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, take up your mat and walk? Verse 10. For those of you who need to be forgiven, it doesn't matter what you've done, here it is. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus forgives our sins. Jesus deals with our deepest need. Watch what he does. He says to the madman, I tell you, hey oh, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Verse 12. He got up. He took his mat and he walked out of there in full view of them all. Some commentators, and I land with this, some commentators, they say it's at this spot, as early as Mark chapter 2, that the shadow of the cross fell across Jesus' path. Jesus knows what they're thinking. Verse 8 says so. He knows. That if he heals this madman, if he shows the people that he's not just a miracle worker who can heal, but that he's the savior of the world who forgives sins, he knows they're going to kill him. Yeah. He knows that if he heals this guy, he's taking the first steps down an unyielding path. And you know what? That path led to my freedom. That path led to your freedom. And you know, I think of that and I still think, who the heck? May I be be forgiven for all the things I've done. I want to say to you today, there's nothing that you have done that God cannot forgive. Just sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of precious is the flow that made me white as snow. No other bound I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What happens when the guest of honor meets the host of honor? What happens when the madman meets Jesus? Verse 12 says, this amazed everyone and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Who's your madman? If you don't have any unsaved mates, you better go and make some unsaved mates. Can I hear an amen? Amen. There's a city out there going to hell. I want to say this. If you know that Jesus is preached here every Sunday, if you know that these men preach the Bible, they preach Jesus, then where the heck are your friends? You know, I always say this, our city, we need to resurrect the culture of the invite. Get them into your home. Hey, Vaynant, you think God gave you that 12-seated dining room table just because you and Gisela like eating? Here's a test for you. To see if now let me just get this right here quickly. Here's a test to see if your mission on earth is done. And I see he's a klomp silver koppe hier ook. Some silver heads, yeah. And you might think that God is finished with you. No. Are you breathing? Are you breathing?
Yes.
Then your mission is not over. Amen. Amen. Every single one of you, I need you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Kan ek maar. Okay. I don't know if you know what a commissioning is. I want to commission you. In the name of Jesus, to face your city. Get the nose of this boat, this ship, pointing towards a desperate, lost city. And so, Father, thank you for your blood that washes us clean. Thank you, God, that you once moved upon our lives so beautifully and you forgave us. And I pray, God, that this church would rediscover its purpose. Every single member a minister, every single member a carrier of the good news. And I pray that each and every member here would by faith find a madman. And I pray that that mat man, I pray, God, that you would move upon these mat men in power, Holy Spirit. Save, rescue. I pray this in Jesus' name. Would you commission this church, God? Would you send them? Would you send them, Lord, onto the greatest mission ever known to man? Yes, and also let's say, dankie, Here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.